This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the BetRivers Network.
Well, hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly La Liga podcast brought to you in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. You're with Dan Roebuck alongside me, Alan Feely, the editor of Football España, and Rory Barlow, football writer at Football España and La Liga Lowdown. Last seven matches, chaps, in the Spanish top division, all won by the away team. Not all big prices, although Raya were when they defeated Barcelona. Only 28% of matches this season in La Liga have gone to teams on the road. It's the lowest percentage of the top five leagues in Europe. Are we seeing a little regression, Alan, do you think, last week? Or is it just one of those weeks where the away teams were better?
I think it's the moment of the season that we're living at right now. I think that, you know, we're into the final straight. Some teams have things to play for, others don't. And I think that when you're going away from home in this period of the season and you're a mid-table team, you might take it more seriously because, you know, you're actually traveling to a different city and you're going with the siege mentality. You're playing against a hostile crowd in most cases. So I think you take it with a greater degree of seriousness than if you're playing at home, because I think, you know, as the saying goes, a lot of players are already on the beach by this point of the season. And even a lot of clubs in La Liga are in weird moments because you had, you know, for instance, Valencia and Real Betis playing in the Copa del Rey final on Sunday evening. They both lost at home this week. You have other teams like Barcelona and Atletico Madrid who are just kind of, you know, trying to recalibrate themselves, just falling off a bit. I think it's a case of the stage of season we're in and the peculiarity of the calendar. You know, just after the international break with, you know, cup commitments, European games as well on the horizon. So I think it was always going to be an unusual week. So that's what I think is the case there.
And in terms of home advantage, what we saw, Rory, when the Bundesliga came back, one of the first leagues to come back after COVID, there was a lot of away wins that the fans weren't a factor. Not so much in other divisions. And I mean, I'm guessing traditionally, Spanish teams at home, there is a higher winning percentage. It's something that bettors should be looking for.
Yeah, I think it depends very much on the team itself as well. I think Camp Nou tends to be, well, not recently, but tends to be quite a big advantage for Barcelona. Whereas you look at another team like Mallorca, again, on the island, they're a completely different prospect to other teams. And I think if you look at, there are certain teams that home advantage plays much more of a part than sort of away matches do. Alan kind of stole the words right out of my mouth in the sense that it's a different, difficult part of the season to analyse because you're trying to work out the motivations for each team. You're trying to work out exactly where each team's heads are at and what they're focused on. And as he says, there are plentiful sort of good beaches to go and rest your head on as well.
Yeah, there was one really nice article about an English football team talking about games at the end of the season, saying our team's on the beach. And this particular team were still battled hard. And he said if they were on the beach, it was Omaha Beach 1945, which I thought was a nice line. So you're absolutely right. It can be a little bit odd. It all depends on the circumstance. We've got a weekend slate to look forward to. A lot of games, so we'll be rattling through a few of them. Obviously, prices around about right at time of recording. Are we going to kick off Friday night? This is Sevilla versus Cadiz. Sevilla, Alan, short price favourites here. A big win against Levante last week, but maybe a slightly fortunate one. What do you think of Sevilla's home game against Cadiz?
I back them to win this one, I think. I'm based in the city of Seville, and I know the celebrations that happened over the weekend with Real Betis winning the Copa del Rey.
Really good point.
Incredible. Straight after the game, Sergio Canales was talking about having five finals left for the rest of the season. So they're motivated to try and push into that top four. And they'd love nothing more than to steal Sevilla's place out from under them. Conversely, Sevillistas are pretty unhappy at the moment. They were hiding over the weekend. I spoke to a barista who was a massive Easter, and he said that he was away in the countryside for the weekend. Couldn't bear seeing the celebrations in the city. So for that reason, I think that Sevilla will be hyper-focused going into Friday's game. I think Cadiz are a good team. They're difficult to beat. They're well-drilled. I think that they'll just about beat the drop this season. I think that's the way it's going. And they've got to fight for, of course, but so does Sevilla. And I think that given the way Sevilla's season has gone, you know, getting knocked out of the Europa League by West Ham, the Copa del Rey by Betis, and now potentially losing their place in the top four, should things not go their way in the final few weeks of the season, I think that they'll be my favourites to go and win that game. Minus 182 the last time I checked, against, you know, plus 600 in Cadiz's favour. So I think that they'll win, and I think it'll be under 2.5 goals, which is minus 141 at the moment. I think it'll be a tight win. I think it'll be a typical Lopetegui performance. They'll score and see out the victory. It won't be swashbuckling football. It won't be champagne football, but it'll be a win. And that's what Lopetegui Sevilla are all about. And they need to be like that more than ever now heading into this final stretch of the season.
Plus 600 Cadiz at the moment, big price. Maybe a little unlucky not to beat Athletic last time out, Rory. They had an XG of 3.5, but wasn't enough. What's your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I think Cadiz, they fell into their own trap. As Sergio Gonzalez said, he said before the match, we are our own worst enemy because they've just beaten Barcelona. Now we need to focus. We cannot slack off. And that's exactly what they did in the first half of that Athletic game and conceded three goals. In the second half, they did at least get a reaction, but those 30 kind of horrendous minutes really sort of did for them in that match. So I think Cadiz have been good lately, and they've actually gone to, I mean, Camp Nou is the perfect example, but they've gone to Atletico, they've gone to Madrid, and they've always pushed the bigger teams this season so far. So I do like it to be a cagey game. I'd probably still back Sevilla to win. Under 2.5 goals, I think, is at minus 141 when I last looked. So I think if you like that sort of cagey game and you think it's going to be a narrow win for either side, then yeah, perhaps that's a good bet for you.
Let's move on to the teams that are in Champions League action midweek. We're recording before Champions League football. Villarreal and Real Madrid, of course, both playing Saturday games for them domestically. Alan, come to you for Alaves against Villarreal. Can they take advantage of a Villarreal side who are going to be in between Champions League legs? What do you think? Plus 60 Alaves at the moment.
I think they have a much better chance than if they're facing Real Madrid, put it that way. I mean, I think everyone has known that Villarreal's league form this season hasn't matched up with their European form. I think Unai Emery is the archetypical cup manager. I think he's very good in one-off tactical games, and he'll have put hours and hours of work into analysing Liverpool ahead of tomorrow night's game at Anfield. But the reality is they've found it very, very difficult to follow up weekend games after playing in Europe, especially away in Europe, especially against a team as difficult to play against as Liverpool. I mean, this is probably the biggest game in their history, given the context of where they are going into it. I mean, you know, they played in the 2005 or 2006 Champions League semi-final against Arsenal, but that was more of a one-off, whereas this, I think, is really, you know, part of a conscientious plan on the part of Unai Emery. So, yeah, I think that if Alaves are ever going to beat Villarreal, this is the best time to do it. I mean, of course, Alaves aren't exactly in great form this season. They're rock bottom. They look like they're going down. They're not really playing in any inspired fashion whatsoever. So I still fancy Villarreal to beat them, I think. I think that they will rotate their squad completely like they did before the second leg against Bayern Munich, where they changed all 11 players. I think they'll do similar when they go up to Mendizorroza in the Basque country. But I think that the team will be good enough to get a result. At the very least, a draw, which is plus 240 at the time of writing. But I think I'd fancy them to win, which is plus 114. But having said that, I think it'll be under 2.5 goals, which is minus 112, because, you know, Villarreal aren't exactly a team who kill teams. They don't score four or five past them, even if they are somebody like Alaves. So I think the, you know, inherent conservatism in Emery's game plans, combined with the heavy changes he'll probably make in between, you know, two such important games in the Champions League, means that Villarreal will probably win, in my opinion, but it won't be a high-scoring affair.
Rory, I'll let you tackle Real Madrid against Espanyol. You, both of you said last week, to a certain extent, it doesn't really matter with Real Madrid. They're still, you know, should win against Osasuna. That's exactly what happened, even with Benzema missing a couple of penalties. Do we think that the same thing's going to happen here? It doesn't really matter what happens in midweek. It's going to be rotation. And of course, they're just technically, I mean, they've won the title anyway, but technically need a point. How do you see their match against Espanyol?
I think this isn't actually, it's quite an interesting game in terms of if you're looking at it from a betting standpoint, because I think there's a bit of value here. I quite like over 2.5 goals at minus 162, which isn't great value, but Real Madrid and both teams to score is at plus 190. So that's a bit more. What I would say about Espanyol is that against the big teams, again, they've done pretty well this season, and they were beaten by Barcelona, but they also took a point against them. They went to Atleti recently and lost narrowly, but they did score. And then they beat Real Madrid in the last sort of, or the reverse fixture of this. So I think Espanyol will put up a fight. I think Real Madrid probably still have enough. They're going to have a party atmosphere, so to speak. And they need a point to secure the title. So that obviously plays massively into it for them. But they will be rotated. And I think of their last seven games, I want to say they've conceded in six of them. So that I do think there's a vulnerability there. I think Espanyol might make it a bit difficult for them, but ultimately Real Madrid will get what they need.
At start of the season, Real were around about 40-1 for the Champions League and La Liga double. Did any of you fancy them at the start of the season? Were Real your picks for the title, Alan?
They were actually, yeah. I just think that it was going to be cut down between them and Atletico Madrid. I mean, Atletico Madrid have really disappointed this season. And after, you know, recruiting quite heavily in the summer. But I thought that, you know, bringing in Carlo Ancelotti, I knew that he'd be a coach who would get the best out of his players. And he has done that. You know, he's not a transformative coach like Thomas Tuchel or Pep Guardiola or Jurgen Klopp, but he's a coach who knows how to manage his players well. And the fact of the matter is that Real Madrid have a very, very good squad, you know. So I think that it made sense. And I think he was kind of a breath of fresh air compared to Zinedine Zidane from a personality perspective. He's a warmer character, and he was always going to relish the opportunity of taking over at Santiago Bernabeu after, you know, a few years at, you know, lesser clubs like Everton and Napoli. So I think that I had a feeling they'd do something special. I'm a big fan of Carlos.
Just a brief word on Carlo Ruri. I don't know tactically what he does, but as Alan's just pointed out, he just seems to be able to massage the egos and manage the big name players, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think it is a sort of an overplayed trope to an extent. I mean, this is a guy managing at the highest level and he obviously does know his stuff. But to a certain extent there, he allows his big players, he allows the sort of experienced veterans of the Champions League, Karim Benzema, Luka Modric, Casemiro, he allows these guys to solve problems themselves. I think that protagonism kind of helps them. It helps them sort of in-game when they come under pressure and they're 3-0 down at home, And they need a big moment. I think that helps them. Whereas if you do get sort of a more systematic manager, somebody who's going to put you in a box and make sure you stay in that box and you fulfill your role, then you don't quite get those same big moments from your more creative players as much, in my view.
Let's move on to Valencia Levante. Rory, how big a derby is this? Is this, you know, big kid, little brother? How does it work out in the city? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's a sort of fairly strongly felt derby, probably more from Levante than it is from Valencia, if we're being honest. Valencia, until recent years, sort of had bigger things on their mind. They had titles and Champions Leagues to compete for. So I think for Levante, it's probably a bigger derby. I'm interested to see kind of the reaction of Mestalla and of Valencia to that Copa del Rey defeat. I want to see if they sort of come out in numbers. They want to show their appreciation for the efforts of the team against Betis. Well, then I think that could sort of guide them to victory. Levante, they're in desperation mode. They really need this. There is sort of flip side of that cup final where Valencia now have no purpose to their season. I think there's uncertainty surrounding the club. There's uncertainty surrounding Bordalas's future there. So this could kind of go either way. I think draw no bet for Levante is plus 138. So if you fancy them for the upset, and I think Levante are one of the most unpredictable teams in the league, well, then there's decent enough value there.
Who's Levante's key man? Who's got to play well, Alan, if Valencia are going to get beaten and Levante are going to claim victory in the derby?
It's the guy who was in tears at the end of Sevilla Levante last weekend, Jose Luis Morales, the capitán, you know? And I think that is why I think Valencia are going to win this game. I think Levante are down. I think last weekend, the way things went against Sevilla, was kind of a death knell, if that makes sense. I think that he looks like a beaten man and he is the guy who would deliver those moments, you know, especially against the bigger teams in the biggest moments. And for Valente, a derby with Valencia at Mestalla is one of those moments, especially in front of a full crowd. This has been the first time in quite a while that we've had that. I've personally fancied Valencia for this game. I think they're plus 123 for the win. I just think that they're a proud club. And while there is issues behind the scenes, like Rory alluded to, with Peter Lim and the ownership and even Jose Bordalas in some instances, I think that these players want to respond to the defeat and the heartbreak that they suffered at La Cartuja down in Sevilla against Real Betis. And I think players like Carlos Soler and Gabriel Paulista and Yunus Musa, who missed a decisive penalty, and we want to put that right. So while I agree with Rory in that I think that the rest of the season is going to be a damp squib, I don't think they'll do anything much. I think that'll be, you know, kind of, you know, lurching from a draw to a win to a defeat, as is the case with mid-table teams generally. I think that this, on this occasion against Levante, they'll look to put them to bed. And I don't think that Levante, while they will be open, they will go for it, they'll try and, you know, rage against the dying of the light, you could say. I just don't think they'll have enough, and I think they're beaten. So I would back Valencia to win at +123, and I reckon it'll be over 2.5 goals. I think that there'll be goals on both sides, but I think that Valencia will win the shootout, and that's -118. So that's my take on that one.
Athletic versus Atletico Madrid. From a layman's point of view, and I'm classing myself here with this, I just think unders for Atleti. Are they reverting to type a little bit, Alan, here? Do you think six of the last eight under 1.5, let alone 2.5 goals? What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I definitely go for under 2.5 goals in that one. I think it's -182. Atletico are in a funny moment because they've lost João Felix, who was the talisman in the second half of the season, especially since they kind of picked up their form again. And they're in real danger of missing out in the top four. I mean, Real Betis are, as I said earlier, you know, trying to go for them with all their might. They're operating with a free hit, whereas Atletico are under massive pressure, similar to Barcelona and Sevilla, and that missing out in the top four would ruin their season, because Atletico are a club who've been ever present in the top four ever since Cholo came into the team in 2012. Stefan Savic is suspended for this one, but they did welcome back Hector Herrera and Jose Maria Jimenez to training this morning. So I think that they should be enough to get the result. Athletic Club are a very inconsistent team. They're finding it very difficult to chain results together. And after, you know, a pretty dramatic victory over Cadiz during the week in Cadiz, I think that they'll, it's kind of, you know, it's in their character to go and choke and lose this game, really, you know. So I'd fancy Atletico, they're +155. And I reckon they'll be under 2.5 goals. I think that they'll win. I think that it would be pretty unglamorous, pretty not very pretty. But I think that I get the result.
They've just been backed in actually a little bit over the course of the last 24 hours at Atleti. They've struggled a little bit, Rory, against the lesser lights this season, haven't they?
They have indeed. I think for me, if we throw it back to last season, Athletic were in a similar situation where they had nothing to play for. I think there was about three games to go. And Atleti came up to the Basque Country, and this was without fans, bear in mind. Atleti came up to the Basque Country and got absolutely run over. Athletic beat them 2-1. They completely destroyed the Madrileños. I think this is going to be, again, a really tight game. I do like under 2.5 goals. I think if you're kind of feeling you want to go for an outside pick, then I don't mind this one for Athletic. Genuinely, if this was Sunday lunchtime, I think Atleti would be the team I'd back. But the fact that it's under the lights, I think it'll be a packed out San Mamés on a Saturday night. Athletic really raise their game up to or down or drop it down to whichever team they're playing. And so I think this, it will be a tight game. It could go either way in my view. But that João Felix absence, as Alan mentioned, has really started to hurt them. And they'll look at what Granada did last week last sort of midweek and see, well, we can do that easily. And we've got a bit more sort of pace and power sort of going the other way. So
interesting game, certainly. Atleti unders, we're thinking potentially it'd be interesting to see what happens there. Let's move on to Elche against Osasuna. Alan, you can tackle this one for us. Elche, they found just enough form just at the right time, I think, to stay up, haven't they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I watched the game against Betis. It was down here in Seville at the Benito Villamarín on Tuesday evening. And they were full value for their victory. I mean, the first half, Betis were the better team. They were kind of attacking them. You know, there was a heady atmosphere here at the Copa del Rey, and there definitely was a sense that maybe Betis's minds were on the Copa del Rey final. But Elche were full value for their win because they were, you know, had a game plan. They were dogged. They were aggressive. They attacked with pace when they got the chance to, and they were very effective, you know, and they fully deserved the victory. A very good victory, mind you. And I think that now they're pretty much safe. I would be surprised if they were dragged into it this stage of the season with five games left. And I think that they'll ride that, you know, positive energy when they welcome Osasuna to the Estadio Martinez Valero. Because I just think that, you know, Osasuna are a typical mid-table club, like we've been saying throughout this whole episode, whereas there are maybe, you know, nothing left to play for, really. They were very good against Real Madrid at El Sadar last week and just came up short. But I think that, you know, welcoming the players, their players, Elche's players, to the Martinez Valero will be kind of a celebratory moment because they've basically secured their safety. And I think that maybe they might endure some freakish results towards the end of the season. I think that they've done enough as things stand to go and kind of, you know, win this one and celebrate their return. So I think that, you know, they're plus 195. So they're actually the outsiders to this game. And I reckon that it's a good shout. And I'd reckon they would be under 2.5 goals, which is minus 175.
Those are the picks from Alan for Elche against Osasuna. Granada, Celta Vigo for you, Rory. Granada, with that point against Atleti, do they need a win rather than a draw this time around, though?
They could do with one. They could certainly do with one. They need to get out of the relegation zone. I think Granada, it's almost hard to sort of judge because they went to Atleti with this sort of the need, the desire, the objective to go, right, we're going to get a draw, we're going to get a point, we're going to be solid here. And they did that. And you kind of have to reset your expectations every time a new manager comes in, from my point of view. And Aitor Karanka has come in. We saw that kind of draw and they were solid, but there wasn't anything sort of radical to say that he was going to change things massively. I do think he'll be more defensive. He's coming up against a Celta team that conceded less than a goal a game on the road. So they probably a better team defensively on the road than they are at home. I think under 2.5 goals is minus 132, and I don't mind that unless Celta go ahead early. And I think the game becomes a bit more stretched as Granada get a bit more desperate, as you say. Unless that happens, I'd like sort of a lower amount of goals in this match. But yeah, I think Granada are at plus 163 last time I checked. Celta are also plus odds, but under 2.5 at minus 132, not great value, but probably correct.
Probably the most likely in terms of the overs and unders. And as Rory was pointing out, watch out for all the betting in play on the Bet Rivers website as well, because if things do change, you can get involved throughout the action. A few more games to take a look forward to. We've got Rayo against Sociedad next. Rayo didn't win forever. And then two away wins on the spin, the last of which Alan against Barcelona. What on earth do we do with Rayo from a betting point of view against Sociedad?
Yeah, that's a funny one. Rayo is such a
unpredictable. It kills us as bettors, doesn't it? It's a nightmare, really.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I think that I was worried they were going to get sucked into it towards the tail end of the season this year because of, you know, how well they started and then the way their form collapsed in the second half of the season once the turn of the new year began. But it seems they might have just done enough to pull themselves out of it again and secure top flight status for next season. I think it's deserved too, because I think that Antonini Areola is a really good coach and there's some really, really good players at Rayo Vallecano. You know, despite the off-field issues that have dogged the club, especially with the women's team and the politics of the owners. But in this particular game, I fancy Real Sociedad. I think that they're a strong team. I think they were not hard done by that loss to Barcelona because, I mean, at the end of the day, whoever wins the game, right? But I think that they played well in that game and they probably deserve more from it had they taken their chances. I mean, Alexander Sorloth and Alexander Isak, their Scandinavian front pair, were both missing, you know, pretty gilt-edged chances. And I think that on another night, they could have taken something from that game. But I reckon that they'll put it right against Rayo. I think that they're quietly been performing quite well in the second half of the season after, you know, suffering a bit of a dip in the middle of the part of the season. And I think that they could be an outside bet for, I think the fourth place is beyond them, to be honest with you, but I think that they could be an outside bet to finish in sixth place and retain that top six place, which would be a good season for them. I mean, you know, given the amount of money spent in that squad. And they're plus 138 to win the game. I think they'll win it. I think they win by over by a couple of goals. I think they score a bit. They'll find the shooting boots. And they're plus 143 for over 2.5 goals. So I think that Real will win and they'll win quite well.
Rory, Barcelona, they've lost three of the last four. The teams that beat them were 8-1, 16-1 and 7-1. Can we trust them to beat Mallorca at such a short price, minus 275?
I do, but that's perhaps just sort of blind and being attached to sort of the the statistics, that was the first time I think that they've lost three consecutive home games in the same season ever, which is, it was just quite a record. So to back them to, to back them to draw or get beaten again, I think it's a bit much of a stretch for me. I think you look at Mallorca, they are another packed defence, which is what Barcelona have been struggling with. But if you look at those three games, in each of them, they've conceded a goal in the first 10 minutes. And that's really set them back. Once that sort of opening goal goes in against them, I think it puts the doubt in their mind. I think it puts them on the back foot. And if they can get through those sort of first 10, 15 minutes without conceding, it's a different game. And you can see that in sort of their results. Barcelona need a reaction. I think Xavi will be cranky, to say the least, with the fact that they've lost two games against sort of minnows, and to back them back against them in this game, I think they have enough talent to get over the line. I mean it's a necessity at this point, and so yeah, I back them to do so.
Okay, short price. Very quickly on Barcelona from you, Alan. Let's get your quick thoughts on them. Should we just include them in parlays and just back them at short price? Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, the word of the street is that Ansu Fati will be back for this game. He's been out for quite a while, and he is the prodigal son. You know, I think alongside Pedri, he's the most important player at the club. Ronald Araujo is up there as well, the centre-back who just signed the deal to 2026 today. So I think that while Barca have endured a tough few weeks, and, you know, Xavi will definitely have felt the pressure recently, I think he's going to have drilled it into his players to, you know, put this right. They have to get a win on their belts. I don't think Mallorca really have enough to put it up to them. I think that you know, the return of Ansu Fati, that decisive player, is going to be absolutely essential. I think I'd back Barcelona to go through in this one, -275 and over 2.5 in goals.
Okay, stop the rot for Barca then, short price, but they should win. And quickly, your thoughts on the Monday night game. We have got Getafe against Betis. Rory, you can go first on this one. Are they not so much on the beach, but on the beers after the cup win? How do they tackle this game after their cup success?
Well, they do have those kind of five finals left, as Sergio Canales said, that they need to sort of pretty much win all their games, I think, to get into the Champions League spots. Nothing less than a win will do for them. I personally would probably stay away from this just because it's hard to know how they're going to react to that success, to having that big blowout. And they do have the momentum, but Getafe are a side that are going to make it really difficult for them. They're going to sit in, they're going to be hard to break down. And if you're not on it, if you're the team that has to sort of break that down, then, well, that's a lot more difficult unless you're like 100% sharp. So, I'd probably watching stay brief away from this one. But, yeah.
Watching brief for Rory. Alan?
I'm backing Betis for this one. I think that they'll be on a high from their exploits at the weekend. I think that, as I said earlier, Canales has talked about refocusing their energy and, you know, really making sure they get the job done in terms of doing their best in La Liga. It's an outside bet to finish in the top four, but I think that they're going to try their very, very best. I like Getafe under Kike Sanchez Flores, but I think that Betis will win this one. +185 for the win. I think it will be a tight game, so under 2.5 goals, which is -182. Okay. I'm backing the Verde Blancos for sure.
Right, best bets, and we got outsiders, and we got a parlay to work out as well. Alan, let's get best bet of the weekend. What's your best bet coming up?
My best bet is Valencia. I think that they'll be hurting from the Copa del Rey in the manner of their loss to Real Betis, and I think that they'll be, you know, spurred on by the Mestalla crowd and the local derby, with some talented young players who want to set right what happened to them against Betis down in Sevilla. So I'm backing Valencia to win in the Comunitat de Valencia derby at Mestalla. They're +123, so it's not the biggest of odds in the world, but I think they'll do it. And I think it'll be a tight game. So over. No, I think it'll be a tight game, but I think that there'll be goals there, which is over 2.5 goals, which is -118.
Rory, your best bet of the weekend?
+138 when I looked was Real Sociedad over Rayo. I think, as Alan was saying, they were really good against Barcelona. They just missed the finishing touch. And if you look at their record, they either win, draw, or they get absolutely thumped. And I don't think that Rayo are going to thump them. So I do think that they will probably get a result here. I like Real Sociedad to beat Rayo.
And give us your outsider, Rory. One at a slightly bigger price.
Yeah, my outsider is Athletic to beat Atleti at +245. If you're not quite as confident, +210 was Athletic to draw with Atleti. So I think, yeah, if you fancy them to get a result under the lights at San Mamés, that's not a bad show.
And we just talked about Betis. Alan, that's your slightly bigger one, isn't it, that you like this weekend?
Yeah, I was surprised at the outsiders, actually. I mean, they're plus 185 to Getafe, who are plus 170. I mean, obviously, it's at the Coliseum, Alfonso Perez in just outside Madrid, so it's on Getafe's home turf. But I reckon that, yeah, Betis will get this one done. As I said earlier, I think it'll be a tight game, only 2.5 goals, minus 182. And I think that the high from the Copa del Rey will steer them through. The quality players they have, the good mood they're in at the moment, and their ambition, as Sergio Quinala stated, of, you know, winning these final five finals. So yeah, I'm backing Betis as my outsider.
Okay, and we need two picks from you each to compile the parlay. Alan, what are your two teams to follow this weekend?
I'm going to go for both Sevilla clubs, Sevilla and Betis, for the same reason, in a way, because I think that Sevilla will be absolutely, you know, laser focused in terms of, you know, getting the season back on track and not finishing in the shadow of their great rivals Real Betis, whereas Real Betis will be riding a high. So I think that the Copa win will influence both Sevilla clubs. I think that Sevilla will be trying to, as I said, you know, recover from it, and Betis will be trying to build on it. So that's why I'm backing both Betis and Sevilla for the parlay.
And two teams, Rory, from you.
Yeah, I've included La Real, Real Sociedad in my parlay, and I think I'm also going to go with Barcelona, just if even for the sheer fact that Barcelona players should be very, very worried about Xavi if they do lose or draw this game, because he will be in and around their rear ends, put it that way.
Okay, so we've got a 14 parlay for you. We have got Sociedad, Barcelona, Real Betis and Sevilla. It pays around about 13 to 1, the parlay, at the moment, if you want to follow our experts in. Alan, thanks for joining us. As per usual, we need the best place to find you and your work.
Yeah, your best place to find me is on Twitter at Azuofili, F-E-E-H-A-O-Y. And that's where I share the majority of my work for various outlets across mediums. And then also, of course, Football España, which is where we'll be covering every kick from this weekend's action.
Rory, where can people get in contact with you when they celebrate your winning selections this weekend?
When they do that, they can find me at R-U-R-I Barlow, Barlow as in Gary, and you can also see me on Football España as well. I'll be covering those games tonight.
Perfect. Many thanks. Enjoyed your company. That wraps up this week's BetRivers La Liga podcast.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the BetRivers Network.